Hey, everybody. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Harriet Kamak with Down to Earth. And as usual, we talk about the issues that are down to earth. So give me a minute here to perhaps just refresh you on what's on my mind on this bright Friday morning in the middle, in the first week of October. Like, seriously, like, am I not even pleased? And typically, October is like my favorite month because it's Halloween in a few, and it starts the fall season, going into the holiday season, and we start dressing up again, right? So we have no choice but to dress up because it's too cold not to wear any clothes out there. I mean, I couldn't even fathom putting on just a tank top. I mean, had a glorious summer, though, I must admit, because we got a chance to think about wearing during summer. You know, we got a chance to wear all that nice summer clothing and be a human being. Yeah, I was a person during the summer. Can I just say that? Yes, I was a person during summer, and I got a chance to wear all my tank tops, my flip-flops, and just be a person. But here comes fall, like, hey, where do you think you're going? And I'm like, fall, I don't even like you. So I used to like fall, and I think I still do, but I don't know that I like fall right now, because fall wants to fall. Okay, and I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan, because now I'm forced to wear a scarf, and I have to wear stuff. So hi, everybody who is joining. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're joining us by Periscope or Twitter, I just want to say hey, and hey to everybody. And if you are anywhere in the United States, you know it's beginning to be fall, because no matter where you are, it felt a little crispy this morning. I mean, this morning when I went out, I was like, seriously? That was my first thought. It felt crispy. And I should have known, because when I woke up this morning, I was feeling all cozy. And then I realized that the AC is not on. That was the first clue. I should have known that that was the problem. But I was still like cozy under the covers. And then after a while, I got up to go downstairs. And then I realized the AC is not on. There's not that humming sound. The AC is not on. And then I was coming back upstairs, and I'm like, ooh, I feel a little chilly. I said, well, maybe we need to adjust the thermostat. No, the AC is not on. That's the cold air seeping in through the insulation in your roof and through the insulation in your walls, telling you that later on you have to put on a scarf and so on. So Lord, help us. And this is the time of year when folks who live in California and southern Texas, right, and southern Louisiana and Florida, and so on, they get to grin at the rest of us as they watch us deal with ice and snow, and they get to be like, oh, see, that's why we live in the south, and this is us, sure. And then later on, when it flips, and they're in the sweltering heat with hurricanes and tornadoes, and sometimes earthquakes, we get to say, sucks to be you, but at least here in the Midwest, what we get to deal with, our challenge, is always this ice, sleet, and snow. What folks in the South get to deal with, tornadoes, that's the bane of your existence. Mm-hmm. Hurricanes, mm-hmm. That's the bane of your existence. Boom, sucks to be you, right? So it kind of like it pans out for all of us. I don't know if that's a good way to say that, because I'm not exactly a fan either way. Okay, so does it sound like we're never happy with the weather? I don't know. I really don't know. But today I want to talk about sperm donors. And you know, we plan our shows ahead of time, what we want to talk about, so that I am versed on the subject, so that somehow I have some background, so I can give you some background. And this sperm donor thingy has been going, you know, kind of around in the universe for a while, just like out there. But I've been avoiding the subject because I didn't want to offend anybody. because people are human beings, and every human being deserves to be affirmed in their identity and in their personhood as a desired human being, that they were born with a purpose and that there are no regrets for them being here. A lot of what we see around violence and around racism stems from that. It's the denying of a person's personhood, that as an individual and as a person, you have a right to be here and you have a reason for being here and you are valued. Well, what happens with sperm donating, is that it removes that pre-planning. It sort of removes that visibility and that affirmation that you were a desired human being who was sought after, and that now that you're here, people want you here. But really, it is true, because the people who go to sperm donating clinics seeking a sperm donor, they're very choosy. They're very choosy about the kind of people they want to cohabit with and the kind of people they want to make a baby with. So they go to a sperm bank and they say, I want somebody who is of a medical background. I want somebody who is who has a scientific mind or has an IQ of so-and-so, whose eye color is so-and-so, whose hair color is so-and-so. And it works the same for women, because women also donate their eggs to women who can't conceive. And people will say, well, I want someone who is at least a student of an Ivy League college so that my kid will grow up to want to be an Ivy League college, that kind of thing. So we have advanced so much in human chemistry now that we are altering, or while we can alter our basic biology in terms of the fact that we are made of blood, tissue, and cells, and so what I look like is what the generations after me are likely to look like, we can't necessarily alter that. We're trying to figure out how to alter DNA so we make the desired type of human being we want, but we can configure the social semantics around the person. So we can say, well, if it's in the genes, it's in the genes. So if somebody in your bloodline is a doctor, chances are there is going to be another doctor. My kid will grow up to be a doctor or want to be a scientist. That's how people are looking at this now. Sucks to be human, doesn't it? More and more every day. I think we're trying to find the gene code and trying to be God and trying to figure out how can we replace God. I mean, is it going to come to the time when we think we can actually be a person, when we can replace God and start designing, kind of have humans by design, right? So we're going to be designer human beings. I don't think it's any stretch, because right now we're altering our bodies to reflect that. People are born with certain features, and then after a while they're like, I'm not comfortable with my nose looking like this or my lips looking like this. I don't want to look like this. I want to look more like that person. So they pay a surgeon, a plastic surgeon, to alter their features. So while we can alter the genetic code, but we certainly are altering the features, the physical features. So we go to a surgeon and change it. People lighten their skin to reflect what they think is prevailing or what presents them in the best light, what makes them look their most attractive. People change, well, the stuff we do, like I change the color of my hair because I have issues with my hair being black. I've told you that. I've leveled with you and told you that it reminds me of a time when I was powerless, when my ex-husband used to beat me up. So as soon as the seasons come, I change my hair color. I mean, the other day I changed it and she didn't color it blonde enough or light enough. Ooh, didn't work for me. I went back a week and a half and I'm like, no, baby, this doesn't work. So for whatever reasons, we seek as human beings to change how we look, right? So it's kind of like having baby on demand. You go to the sperm bank and you dial 1-800-BABY-WISH and you choose what you want the child to look like. Well, that's what happened in this case. This man, he's a doctor, right? And he was a medical student at Oregon Health University, you know, one of those teaching schools. And he was a sperm donor. You know, young medical students are strapped for cash. And so they will do anything. Young college students anywhere, they'll do anything. Young women sell their eggs because they're so strapped for cash, because you can't look into the future and you can't see
how much this is going to impact you later on. I mean, as much as this guy was a scientific expert and was a science student, I mean, he was a medical student for crying out loud, he lacked the emotional intelligence to see into the future that he could create children that donating sperm with the intention of a woman choosing his sperm to make a baby with is in fact creating himself with a family. So he, at some point, he was going to interact with them. So the agreement he had with the clinic was that they would only donate his sperm. He donated his sperm, but they would only give his, and paid him a fee. He would only have, they would only do it 5 times. Turns out they did it 17 times. So he must have been a highly desired donor. So he found out that he had 17 children in addition to the 3 children that he has with his current spouse. I'm not laughing. You can't make this stuff up. This is not the stuff that you make up. I kid you not. 17 children. So he's doing that because he says they violated his contract and they should have notified him. But the rest of us are like, seriously? You really are going to hand over your biology, your genes to someone, to a clinic, and think they're going to comply with what you say? Like, seriously. It's just like the rest of you all out there, because not me. I'm not doing it. Who go and do a DNA test. And you're like, they advertise it so it's appealing. I want to find out where I'm from. Didn't the oral traditions tell you? Didn't the people around you tell you that you have ancestors from Spain, Portugal, Italy, Germany, Africa, the Congo, Malawi, South Africa? Hey, to all my listeners in South Africa, by the way, thank you for tuning in every day. I really appreciate it. And to the friends in Namibia and Ireland, thanks to all of you who are tuning in. I really appreciate it. I just wanted to tell you that I know you're listening, and thank you. And of course, the United States, right? But think about it. Y'all think that when you do a DNA test, you think it just ends there? You're giving over the knowledge. You're giving over control of what is in your cells, what you are made up of, to some external outside force. Do you realize that? So when they scan all these DNAs and they ask you questions like, what's your occupation? And they ask you, so they match you with a DNA that looks, Jesus, I just said the truth. They match you with a DNA profile that fits what you might think you are made up of. And they store it in a database. So at some point in the future, what do you think they're going to do with it? Do you really think they destroyed it? They have it stored. They'll come looking for you. You suddenly find you get sick, you go to a hospital, they extract your DNA, and suddenly you can get dial-up babies by design. So if they're going to do something else later on, they have everybody's DNA. But notice, they didn't compel you to go in. The government or the state government or the city government or the federal government, nobody compelled you to go in. They just made it sound so appealing. Give it all as a Christmas gift. And people are busy all over the place just tapping into it like, hey, I have relatives and ancestors from all over the place and blah, blah, blah. And the rest of us are like, this is me all day. Really? Are we really allowing ourselves to be duped? So people actually are, I'm going to have like a DNA reveal and I'm going to tell you who I am. I can look at you and tell you who you are. It may be a generation or two removed, but trust me, it's there. So now that we are confronted with the sperm donor situation, I think we need to pay attention. I think we seriously need to pay attention to what? To handing over your DNA. Because this doctor, though he was a medical student, though he was being trained in medicine, had no idea that the future would ever come roaring back at him 17 times over. And that's exactly what happened. So now he's discovering, much to his chagrin, he probably was someone who thought that he was a responsible family man and he raised his children and stayed married and, you know, kept his children together. Now he's finding out that there are 17 of those people went to school and went to college with his own children and even went to the same church for years. They could have dated and didn't know they were related. You're still going to give up your DNA? So all of you who are donating your sperm, that's your DNA. Do you ever go back a year later, 2 years later, and ask them for proof that they destroyed it? I bet you don't. How about when you send in your ancestry DNA, do you go and check if they have destroyed it? No. I keep saying to you guys that they are obviously collecting this for a reason, aren't they? They're collecting this for a reason. You really think it's just, oh, we just want to check the immigration rolls and we go back 120 years to see that your ancestors came over from Poland or Italy or Wales, or do they check the ones from Africa? Were they, really? Or they just picked up some people from the Congo, Nigeria, West Africa, the Ivory Coast. They just picked them up and just, no names, just threw them on a boat, captured them, shackled them, and brought them up and say, here's a Biba. They did the same thing with the Chinese, no names. People just took names when they came, just took some people who were fleeing poverty or fleeing violence or whatever they were fleeing, looking for a better way, and just dump them over here and just say, here, go to California. Right? So I'm asking you one more time. Are you still going to hand over your DNA? Now, this is a medical doctor now. So he has to face his community and say to his community that the way he has lived for the last several years is a lie. Because he presented himself as an upstanding member of the community who supports the community, who doesn't tear down anything about the community, and who is an upstanding, for all intents and purposes, he's a paragon of virtue and a self-fulfilling prophecy of what a family man, an upstanding family, white, upper middle class family man should be like. And then this story comes out. This is not, for me, this is not about in your face so much as it is, did you check the facts? Because you had the knowledge that your DNA and your biology is important as something you should protect. In other words, what I'm saying is, your DNA is every inch just as much a part of your identity as your name, date of birth, and social security number, and should be protected just like we protect or name, date of birth, and social security number. Just like there are programs to protect our credit and protect our identity, we should seek to find ways to protect your DNA. When I go to the doctor and they want, hey, thanks for joining me on YouTube, check this out, right? When I go to the doctor now, Mike Springer, good morning, right? And they want to check, they want to do a blood test. Do you know what I say? Why? You did a blood test 6 months ago or a year ago. Why do you now need a blood test? Because I have the type of blood that they want. Exactly. I don't want the Red Cross or anybody else come looking for me because they're short of my blood type. I'm kidding. I kid you not. So I'm asking the question, why do you need to do a blood test? What are we looking for? Right? So now we all need to be aware, hyper aware. You better be, because that's your DNA. That's you. What if years in the future you find out that they could actually take your DNA now and store it so that as we age and our bodies become subject to the organic processes of death and breaking down, right? What if they can take your youthful DNA and store it and at some point in the future put it back in your body? But they probably won't give it to you, right? No. What will they do? They'll give it to the highest donor, the person who pays the most money for it. But it's your body, it's your DNA, but you don't have any control over it. Have you ever read the fine print when you sign to send, submit your DNA to one of those websites, you know, those ancestor websites? Have you ever read the fine print? See, for years I didn't participate in it because I said I'm an immigrant, and they probably don't have the roles when we arrive, but I fooled myself because they do. When you land at the airport and they give you a stamp, that I-94 form, right? I-94 form that you're a non-resident, right? Bam, they stamp that thing with your name, your date of birth, when you day you enter, and how long they're going to tell you to stay. And it's entered into a system, right? So they do have all the roles. They do have, right? So for years, I was like, but my ancestors didn't come from America, so it didn't apply to me. But then I began to thinking, what are they doing with all that DNA? And we all readily just hand it over. I think the system is so slick. And I think it got us. And we didn't even realize how much we were due and how much we were taken. So we laugh at this doctor because he's not a black man. Because here's what he said. He said, I can't be emotionally invested in 17 people. That's hilarious for me. I was laughing. I'm like, he's certainly not a black man, because we all know how that works, right? A black man can have as many people. I think we should take all black men should take a page out of this guy's book. Can't be emotionally invested in 17 people. And I was like, that's too much to even think about. How are you going to remember all those names and who they're connected to? Good grief. But it's more the shock. When you look at his face, to me, what is more representative is the embarrassment that as a member of the medical profession, I should have known better. I should have foreseen a future in which my DNA would become so valuable that I should contain it. And now it's come roaring back in my face 17 times, much to the embarrassment of myself, my children, my wife, and my community. And black men are just like, hey, that's my story every day. We just go down to the friend of court, and to the court, and just sort it all out, and we just pay some child support, right? I'm just laughing at the way that it is presented. But do you see what I mean? I think we all need to stop and think about this. So if you have a son and you have a daughter who is in college and who are likely to go donate, because nobody knows, the girls go and give over their eggs all the time, especially in some parts of the country, in New York and certain parts of California. These things happen, right? Go and talk to them and say, know what you're doing, because it will come back. What if at some point somebody comes back and says, I'm going to hold you accountable for 18 years of child support that you didn't pay. You fathered a child. 18. If I were that doctor right now, I'd transfer everything out of my name. I wouldn't put it in my wife's name. I wouldn't put it in my children's name if I were him. Because he could be facing some lawsuits from some women. Because he was just a medical student. They didn't know he was a doctor. And they're probably, somebody looking at it, you mean to tell me you could have paid some child support and you didn't? Right? So it's time for us. This is a wake-up call, right, for us to say something. Let me see what folks are saying. I would not let my child go near a college. Raven Bishop, you know, I have followers on YouTube, Mike Springer and Raven Bishop. Raven, seriously, baby, they have to go to college. It's the rite of passage for young adults, okay, to go into adulthood. They got to go through that stage. That 4 years of college, they need that. They need that. It's like an intervention. Just think about it. They're out of your house, right? And they don't have to eat your food, and you certainly don't have to cook for them, because we all know that little people eat a lot when they grow up. And everybody says, amen, right? You're still cooking. Mom, have you cooked? Dad, Dad, have you passed by the store lately, like a gallon of milk? Dad, really? right? And they take dad's wallet, and dad is sitting there like, hello, I love you. And they're like, love can't buy me food, dad. Hand out. Children, they never stop. So, yeah, they need to go to college, honey. They need to, right? But just think about it. Just think about it. This doctor, he was a medical student. Now, I could perhaps forgive him had he not been a medical student. Do you see what I mean? Had he not been a medical student, I probably could say, well, he didn't know better. No, but with all the knowledge and information that he had access to, it indicated to him that there is biology in then their genes. And giving it away is giving away your genes. And that those, especially with sperm, you're creating a human being. So at some point, these people are going to grow up to be children. What if you encounter them? What if you meet them and you went out with them and had sex and then found out that, you know, they were a sperm donor? What would you do? It never occurred to him. And that's where it comes from. But if this has happened, you know what it tells us? It's kind of close to think about. Right? It's close to think about. But now you have to think about possibilities that this has happened. And that now for all of you guys who had donated your DNA and your biology into some sort of contracting device that captured it, you now have to go check it out. Because now you want to know, what did they do with it? Who did they distribute it to? So that you don't run into those people. So that your children don't end up dating someone whom they're related to. And that, my friends, is how the cookie is crumbling. Right? Sucks. Major. But it is a lesson to all of us. And I think we need to examine the ways in which we perhaps have looked at it. We probably have looked at it from the other side. And now 20 and 30 years later, we happen to be looking at it. Don't you think, Mike? Yeah? Don't you think? Right? We probably need, Raven, I know you have something to say about this, but think about it. We were looking at it from the other side. And now we're looking at it from a whole other perspective. That there are 17 human beings from this doctor walking around out there. His children, his sons, probably even dated them, probably even had sex with someone he was probably related to. And some of you out there are struggling with fertility and you can't understand why you can't have children. You need to go start talking. Did your mom ever visit a sperm bank at any time? Because I think, I know that I came from a sperm bank. So, if your mom had visited, let's see if we're not related. Because it seems to me that they were randomly collecting people's sperm and DNA and just giving it out to someone 17 times. It probably has happened more frequently than we are comfortable wanting to know. And as for me, if it were me and I had anything to do with that, I don't know. I don't know that I could come forward publicly, but I do know that I would feel affected by it. And it's at this point that you want to say, wow, did that really happen, right? And so stay tuned. We'll be right back. And so I want to ask the question, and the question I really want to ask, excuse me, the question that I really want to ask is, what would you do if that happened to you? I mean, Raven is killing it here. Mike Springer says, it is something to process. Mike, it is something to process. Can we even wrap our minds around it? I want to be able to wrap my mind around it, because the kicker for me was when the doctor discovered that some of those 17 children went to high school, played sports, and went to college with his kids, and even went to the same church. And you know how we tend to like people who look like us? So you have an affinity for someone. So you might be in a group and someone walks past and they look like you, and you're like, whoa,
that person looks like you, yeah, and you smile at you, look at each other and smile like, hey, yeah, and you become real friendly. And yeah, we kind of look, yeah, we have the same coloring and stuff. But it would never have occurred to you, just think it's what? Coincidence that human beings, in the family of human faces, we all tend to look alike. It would never occur to you that that's what happened. I could tell you a personal story, but I'm not going to. This is not what this show is about today. So don't question it. I know my brother is probably listening, and I know somewhere along the line he is dying with laughter, and I'm going to get some text messages when this is all over. But I won't go there. But the truth of the matter is, this is something to think about. And especially, it's coming up to the holiday season, so the marketing campaigns of these ancestor websites are going to be ramped up, and they're coming for you. Yes, you. Look at me. They're coming for you and you. And they're coming to get your throat because they want to collect DNA, because they want to see. There's some interesting, you have to understand how social scientists are thinking, and scientists in particular. They're going to start thinking, what is it that makes some people, listen, are able to survive certain diseases and some not? Are you listening to me? So be aware of clinical trials that will come out that will say they want to take a random sampling, because they're going to say, how come some people survive certain diseases and some don't? And then they'll start looking for you. I need to stop going to the doctor, because that's something they keep asking me. How come you don't have this? How come you don't have that, person of your color, ethnicity? How come you don't have it? And sometimes they're like, that's so unusual. So what if they start collecting data? So you go to the doctor, all of a sudden your doctor says, yeah, you know, we just, you come in for a visit today, because now the doctors are calling you. You know, it's something when your doctors are calling you, reminding you that you need to come in for a visit, for a checkup. That makes it sound helpful that, you know, right? So you go in for a checkup. And they say, yeah, we're going to run some tests just to make sure that everything is okay. And you're nodding your head going along. Start asking questions. What test? What for? I don't need a test. I didn't tell you I'm worried about anything. Start asking questions. Don't just let them put a needle up in your arm and take your blood out. There's life in the blood. There are all kinds of things in the blood. There is survivability in the blood. Did you know this? When they do your scan, some of you are looking at me like, wow, man, this is too much to think about in an age when we're facing impeachment, inquiry, and all kinds of stuff. You all are shaking your heads like, but this is what you need to pay attention to, because this is affecting you right here on home turf. Because you might be a healthy, healthy specimen according to all the doctor, all the information in your doctor's office, and they want to know why. And the doctor might be accepting funding from some group that is interested in collecting your DNA. Not when you have crazy billionaires running around saying they're going to build another planet and they're going to take people there. Well, which people are they going to take? They're going to build what? They're going to build a super group of humans, right? So they're going to need people to go work for them on that planet. They're not going to be the only ones who inhabit it. They're going to need some security, and they're going to need housekeepers and janitors and cooks and dancers, let's just put that in there, right? And people who will provide them with sex. So where do they think they're going to find the people who can survive that? Y'all are joking this thing out, right? I'll tell you about my brother. No, I don't use those ancestry gimmicks. That's just it. They're gathering your data. Absolutely. No, I'm not. I can't tell you about my brother until we talk about it. I have to ask his permission. Ryan, you know what? Maybe I should ask him if he wants to participate. He's so private, he's probably going to say, nah, how could you even think of that, sis? That's probably what he's going to say. I'm making fun of him because he's not here, but he's listening. He says, I heard you say. Right? But think about it. My daughters also listen. That's never good. Trust me. My children, this is them looking at me. What you said today? Is that what you said? Is that what you feel? That's how my children react. So my brother is like, I heard you. And I'm like, okay, was it okay?
kind of not so sure. You know how men are, you know, this one-liner thing. I'm like, you're killing me with a one line, right? But just think he's out there. He's listening to that. Better not say anything more about it. But seriously, we have to look at this from the perspective that they're going to come looking for us. And this is not, you have to look at how the world is progressing. Look at the age we live in. You sincerely think all this political storm is just a storm? It's a distraction. So you don't focus on what's really going on. You saw recently where they're going to impose tariffs on European goods. So, you know, all our Parmesan cheese and our cheeses that we all like to eat and wine from France and Italy and Spain and Germany, those prices are going to go up. But what is the real issue? The real issue is what the scientists are not reporting. When they have these conferences and scientists go to these conferences, the news media is not covering what comes out of those conferences. That's how come we hear after the fact that another drug pressure pill, I looked it up the other day because it flashed across the alerts on my phone. Another blood pressure pill is on voluntary recall. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to agitate with the FDA. Why is this on voluntary recall? So you don't have to call them anymore. You know you can call them out on social media, Facebook and Twitter especially. So the FDA is on Twitter. So if you start calling them out, why is another drug pressure pill on voluntary recall? Because it has been found to contain what? Another, the same process, NDMA, which is a known human carcinogen, in other words, cancer. So if you've been taking this pill once a day for 7 days, for 4 years, your likelihood of developing cancer has increased astronomically. It's not sporadic. It's intentional. Right? That's what we need to be focused on. But the media is not focused on it. They're focused on politics because that's what drives ratings. They're not focused on a group of scientists sitting down together and talking. They're focused on climate change, but is that the only thing scientists focus on? They're not focusing on what the genetically modified foods are actually doing to our bodies. They're not focused on why so many women are developing high blood pressure. They tell people that it's a lifestyle. But even in the people who are active and who have eaten well, they're still developing high blood pressure even when they become pregnant, right? Let me see what folks are saying. My YouTube feed is livened up. Right? Raven says I'm being funny. But seriously, guys, we need to think, we need to become arbiters of our health and govern ourselves accordingly. We need to govern our lives according to a life that's an awareness pattern that says, I have to now protect my biology and my DNA just like I protect my name, date of birth, and social security number. Because believe me, it's not by happenstance. They are collecting the data, and there are people in little white suits in a lab somewhere who are studying your genetic profile. You think it's a joke? Why do people from this part of the world tend to suffer from this kind of disease and people over this side of the world don't? You think it's a joke. So when you go into the doctor and you fill out these demographic forms, y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Trust me, I am getting a little worried because I never thought about it within the context like this. I was worried. Whenever I went to the doctor and they would ask me questions about, you know, your age, date of birth, where you live, what your race are you, and so on. You know, you would just be like, okay, this is normal. But do you see what has happened? They have what? Normalized this questioning, and we have taken for granted that we're handing over information under HIPAA laws, because that's the law that was designed in 1991, to protect our protected health information, or PHI, right? So we think so, but that's not true. We now know that there are data breaches, people hack stuff, but sometimes they just hand it over in the name of science. That's why you never click on being an organ donor. There's a show on Showtime y'all need to watch. What is it called? Nurse Jackie. You think that's a joke? That's real time. You are healthy, especially you young people. You like clicking on organ donor because you're doing everything to save the planet. You, the planet is bigger than you, and the planet is going to be here for another 1,000 years. It will just recycle itself. So you donate your organs, and you have a motorcycle accident, and you could be saved, but you go into the hospital, and they see where you are an organ donor. They just let you die and call the harvest in place organ transplant people, and they just come and take cut your body out and take your organ out. I'm done. Okay, GMOs are bad, bad food. Well, one thing works with the other in the evil scheme of things. You have to have things bad to treat, so they keep calling so-called funding to treat such as HMO. I see what you're saying. HMOs are pimps. I see what you're saying. So the doctors kind of like don't have a choice. They have to kind of join with it. I see that, yeah? But at the same time, though, we have to ask questions. What has happened to us as consumers? We have sat before TV, and we have accepted the suggestion that we are stupid and dumb, and that we have not a clue what is happening to our bodies, and we don't know anything. And the people who know, they know more than we do. And we just sit there like, no, I don't know anything. And we have allowed that messaging to commandeer our thinking, so that we don't employ our own objective thinking anymore. We are subjective because we're thinking about ourselves, but we don't think about ourselves objectively. Now, why would my doctor want more blood from me? Why is she so concerned about my propensity to develop a disease that I probably won't develop because of lifestyle change? Do you see what I'm saying? So we don't think objectively because the doctor makes it subjective. It's about you and the people you were born to, what you look like, what you sound like, where you come from, the people you're related to, and you sit there. And then, of course, you have the other messaging coming from the ads on TV that says, you want to be a part of this movement. This movement is filled with hipsters like you. This movement is filled with progressive people like you. You want to know where you come from. What if you're a descendant of the Queen of England? No. So we all buy into this stuff. And before you know it, Mike and Raven and all of you, guess what? You're it. I'm sorry. Am I the bearer of bad news? I am the bearer of awareness. That's how I like to look at it. Because just like you, this shocked me. So I wanted to ask all my guys who went to college, I want to find out which one of you went down to a sperm bank. And you might have little people looking just like you walking around. I just want to know. All right. So Mike is saying the government let these drug companies put out these untested drugs that they know will cause these effects on cancers. Yes? And Raven says she hates taking drugs, but you have to. It's never a walk in the park for any of us. But do you see what I'm saying, folks? Do you see what I'm saying? So if you don't have an organized methodology to your thinking, and if you're not aware, like the rest of us, you're going to be duped. You're going to feel when the show is over. You're going to say to yourself, well, they're kind of in charge, and I don't have a choice. Man, that's the way the system is. I don't have a choice. Do I? I can't even control the way they think. That's how you are messaged, and that's how they want you to think. That's literally what they want you to think. They want you to think you're powerless and helpless. So the next time they run an ad on TV that says y'all need to go line up and go give blood because we're running, the whole country is running out of blood, Your Lord say, yes, come, take all the blood you want out of my veins because these poor people need it. Yes, come and take it. Yes, I trust you. Take all the blood. Take my DNA. Take my DNA samples. You can even tap my brain if you want to because I really don't need it. Don't laugh, but it is what it is. So take cover and take power. When you go to the doctor, write down lists. And write down, make a list. You have a notepad in your phone. Make a list and ask questions. Think about the questions you want to ask. Focus on you. The day before you go to the doctor, 2 days before, a week before, when you're in your quiet time, take control. And can I just be honest with you? For some months now, I've been saying when you go to bed at night, turn your TV off 20 minutes before. And I am someone who all my life have lived with a TV in a bedroom. I can't remember a time in my existence when I did not have a television set in my bedroom. Well, yesterday that came to an end. I removed the TV out of my bedroom and my children are in shell shock. I can't believe you did that. You're going to regret it. You're going to want a TV. But guess what? Last night I slept without it. And it didn't occur to me to turn it on. I found myself saying, you know what this does? It gives me more time to read before I go to bed. Something I haven't done much of. But something that I wanted to resume because I would read and watch TV at the same time. So it gives you time to do what? Think. So as you lay in bed before you fall asleep, your mind suddenly gets clear. And it's almost like you're observing yourself. So you are observing your mind. You're observing the thoughts that go across your mind. Because there are literally hundreds of thoughts going across your mind. It's not racing, but you're thinking. And then you pick one and you say, whoa, stop right there. You start investigating that thought. Before you know it, you grab a notepad and you start making notes. Before you go to the doctor, employ that process. Start thinking. And if you have children who are off school age, off college age, make sure. And another thing, this just came to my mind. Men who have sex with multiple partners, what do you do with a condom? Who has control of the condom? I'm asking men. I'm going to ask you again. Who has control of the condom? I heard a story some years ago. I'm sure you all can remember this, a football player. His girlfriend, a girl he was dating, she took her best friend with her to his house. And when he had sex with her, the girlfriend dumped the condom in the bathroom. And the best friend went and took the condom and used the turkey baster to insert it in herself and created a baby. And then he was now liable and he was trying to sue her to take control of the baby. It's either a basketball player or a football player. So once again, men, who has control of the condom when you have had sex with someone? Do you leave it or do you stand in the bathroom and make sure it is flushed? Think about that. What you're leaving behind is your DNA. And someone somewhere one day will take your DNA. Not only will they make a baby that you're shackled to for 18 years, but they will make something, they can do something nefarious with it. Think about that. Right? So I want to think about, before I close, I only have a few more minutes, but, and that's something that we never thought about either. Think about it. How many of you men have been duped into fatherhood when you really didn't want to because someone took your DNA out of a condom and made you a father? And by law, you are required now to take care of someone for the next 18 years. Complicates your life because now you have to explain to a potential new partner whom you really want to be with how you had a child with someone whom you really don't want to be with. The relationship becomes complicated when the child is involved because the child is the innocent party, but you really don't want to have anything to do with the woman. So you find that you don't even have love for the child. You have to, like the doctor said, you're not emotionally invested. But for this woman, she having sex with you was not for fun. It was simply to produce a child. Guys, you need to take control of that. when you have sex with someone and you use a condom, first of all, if you have multiple partners, you should be using condoms. And if you have sex with someone, you should take control of what's in the condom, because that's your DNA. You should look into that. That's how a lot of you guys get caught, right? And then they come to you and tell you they're pregnant. Then you have to go now, go get an abortion, talk about an abortion. All these things leave an emotional trail somewhere that somebody has to deal with, you, right? And it makes you wonder, well, what happens to the children who are born by happenstance? Children who were not planned, who were not thought of or prepared for. Like in this man's case, he had 17 other people whom he says he's not emotionally involved with. He now, the good thing about it is he's responsible. So he had to go to these 17 other people and explain to them that, no, you are not a mistake, that I didn't know about you, but now that I know, I do want to become a part of your life if you will have me, if I don't complicate your life. So think about whether you want to be, because there are other people and so many other people who will be a part of this. Can you dig it? He's responsible and have enough social and moral compact in place that he recognizes that I can't just leave them now that I know, I can't just leave them out there. Because the way a person is conceived, I think when they were setting up sperm banks years ago, we didn't think it through. It was just a money-making opportunity by others, right? And so women who were vulnerable or who couldn't find a partner or who had delayed getting pregnant, because there was a time when we couldn't work and have children because they fired you and they made it so uncomfortable, people were having multiple abortions. And even most professional women who choose to have children will tell you how incredibly stressful the work environment is that makes the pregnancy so stressful that sometimes the children are born under stress and have issues. So in an earlier time, women delayed having children so they could pursue a career interest that they're interested in, right? So women invariably had to go to a sperm bank because then the available pool of men who would want to get married, they were not interested in getting married, or some of them had chosen to be homosexual. It's not a political fight. We won't go into whether people choose to be homosexual or born homosexual, however you feel about it. So women then had found themselves just kind of like, all right, I have to choose this, right? So they would go to a sperm bank and get some sperm donated, right? So now you have to ask, so now what do you say to a child who wakes up and find out after 30 years that this is how they were conceived? Do you say to them that this affects your personhood? Does that mean you are not a valuable person, or you're not valid, you're not valued? Does that diminish you as a person? These are all questions to contend with, and that's why it becomes not just an ethical question, but it's a human question. It's from the perspective, are you valued? And like the doctor said, he can't begin to imagine himself being invested emotionally. Just by saying that alone is enough for some of the children to say, really, sincerely, you're dismissing me like that? Like you didn't put your sperm in something, dude, and create me? Do you see what I mean? But that's exactly what he's saying. It's beyond his emotional capacity to emotionally be invested in 17 people. And that explains why some men, for some people who have multiple children, why they are not as involved in the children's lives. It's because they can't be emotionally invested. My father said a funny thing years ago. He said that if you don't like the woman, chances are you won't stay with the children. And that apparently is what this has proven, beyond the shadow of a doubt. It has proven that. So if you have young people, I gotta go, time is going. If you have young people, gather them together and tell them, no matter how strapped for cash you become, do not donate your DNA. I don't care if they're giving you $1,500 or they're really not giving them much money, but to a broke college student, $100 is a lot of money, right? So they're giving them a couple hundred dollars for your DNA for a lifetime into perpetuity, because human beings, our DNA goes back, what, thousands of years. Pretty soon they'll be able to collect DNA and tell us when we actually started. It's going to prove the Bible true. You're going to be shocked, because they're going to trace it back. Because the DNA they're collecting here in America, they're going to start collecting DNA in Europe, and it's going to, and Africa, and places that existed. Because remember how we started here in America. Everybody here is an immigrant. This land existed before anybody else came. And people came from other parts of the world. They came over through India, trekked all across Asia, into Europe, went to Russia, trekked across Russia through the Bering Strait, trekked all the way through Alaska, Canada, the United States, what is now called the United States, down through Central America, and down to the tip of South America. That's how they got here. All those people. So when they start collecting all the DNA from all of us and put it together, they're going to see human journeys, and it is going to be amazing. So a lot of what has been written up in history is going to be disproven. And it's going to be a whole revelation. It's going to be so incredibly revelatory that it is going to challenge and shake established institutions that have tried to explain how we got here and who is who. It's going to shock us all. That is the power of your DNA. So don't just go distributing it and giving it away, because that's what we're doing, all of us. Because we were curious, maybe a little too curious, right? And so somebody else who knew more about this took advantage of what we were curious about. Right? It's Friday. Go out and live fearlessly. Have a freaky Friday. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I appreciate you. Remember, we come back on Sunday, and we have our Sunday morning edition. So don't, while you're having your coffee, reading your, doing your crossword puzzles and so on, at 10 o'clock Sunday morning is a good time. Raven and Mike, I look forward to seeing you. I know you all don't go to church. So Sunday morning is our little time when we sit down and reflect a little bit on faith and reflect a little bit on the week ahead. Right? So make sure you come and join me Sunday. And of course, we'll be on air all of next week and so on. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Harriet Kemmick. This has been Down to Earth. Thanks for joining me. Go to my website, harrietkemmick.com, and find out more information about why we are the way we are. Buy my books. They're available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And pray for me that my voice will improve the next time that you hear me. Make sure you download the app. You are listening, right? Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about it. Share it and tell your friends about it. And you want to tell them about it, right? Be blessed, everybody. Thanks so much, everybody. Thanks for being a part of our experience. Thank you so much. See you on Monday. Bye for now. And see you guys on Sunday morning with Harriet Kemmick. Thanks so much.